This is Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you live on Facebook and Sermon Audio. What a privilege to come into your homes tonight. Hope and pray that you've had a good week. We just thank the good Lord for each and every one of our friends and our loved ones. They're the ones that keep us going. They're our moral support. And I thank God as we want to have a time of prayer and worship before we go into our Bible study tonight. This is part two of Mount Carmel, the mountains of the Bible. Last Wednesday night, we started with part one, the show-off on Mount Carmel that dealt with basically Elijah with his ministry showing off our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he went up against all of the prophets of Baal and killed every one of them and brought them into the proper place that God would have on them, amen. And so I thank God tonight we pick up on part two with Elisha. Always when we've got a mountain man, as I call it, of the Bible, we'll have a part one and a part two. Elijah was part one. Elisha, the protege of Elijah, is our part two tonight. And here again, it's the mountain of challenge. It's our mountain that tests us each and every day. And so tonight we'll be talking about the encounter of pretending to be normal. The encounter of pretending to be normal. I thank God as we welcome you to our church family tonight. This is our Wednesday night Bible study we look at October the 21st of 2020. This is the 3 of Heshvan, the year of 5781 of the Hebrew calendar. I thank God that's very important as we look at our sixth part two in our series, Mountains of the Bible. I thank God as we go forward tonight. Amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that many of you tonight as we continue our series, as you look in this area here around where Mount Carmel is located, amen. And I thank God as we talk about this, we're going to be talking about the Shulamite's son that miraculously was restored to life, that was resurrected to life, God's power to give life, and God's power to raise the dead. I thank God as you go into 2 Kings, Chapter 4, you could go all the way back to verse 8, all the way to verse 37. Now, we're going to skip through because that's a lot of scripture for our Bible study tonight, but more the better. But tonight, we're going to be learning how to recognize times when we're most susceptible to discouragement. We identify the ways that we battle discouragement and how to learn to live in victory over the discernment and discouragement that comes our way. And I thank God. There was the old story of the devil selling off his tools. And as he began to sell off his tools, one of the things that we look at is as people milled around him looking over all of the goods that he had sold, they noticed an item which had the highest price tag on it, was the least impressive looking tool there was of all the things that were there. And so it was an old battered wedge. And attached was a sticker with a single word on the old battered wedge. It said this, discouragement. And since the wedge showed signs of wear and heavy use, one of the customers there was very curious. And he asked the devil, why was there such an unattractive item that cost so much? And the devil replied, if I can drive the wedge of discouragement between a believer and his Lord, I'll win the victory every time. And so here we look tonight, the story of a rich woman's hospitality, a prestigious woman, amen. But before we go any further into all of this tonight, let's stop for a word of prayer and of worship, and we'll get right into the Bible study tonight out of 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll put up our scripture here that we'll be talking about tonight very shortly. Let's lift up our sister in Christ, Susie New, as she had gallbladder surgery this afternoon. She'll be kept overnight, as Brother Deacon Philip New told us a few minutes ago. You continue to lift her up and pray for her and pray for Philip and all the family there as she recovers her strength. As she has been in some desperate pain with her gallbladder, and I thank God for the doctors that do what they do best, amen, as they came out and removed that and gave her some relief, but now she's got the pain of recovery. And so lift her up in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue remembering John Underwood with all of his up-and-coming challenges as well. There are many of them, and Sister LaVon, lift her up as she makes those choices and as they stay strong in their faith, because there are some very strong men and women of God. We thank God for them, and our prayers go out to them each and every day. For each of our faithful People's Valley, I thank God for Brother Deacon Bob Carroll, as his faithfulness to teach the Word of God and to be faithful always as he's at the house of God there tonight, lifting up the Word of God to those people and feeding the sheep of Christ. And so just touch him tonight. And Sister Cheryl, as they're strong in the Lord, as they keep going forward to do a mighty work for the Lord, and being strong each and every day for each and every one of us as their prayer warriors and have been for many years. And so remember People's Valley, those that are still meeting, that are coming together, that are strong, and be with the many that cannot come together tonight because of safety for this COVID-19. Lord, we pray God's plan would unfold quickly as all of this is getting so old. As we talk about discouragement tonight, believe me, it's hard not to get discouraged with all of the things that are happening, with all of the sicknesses. Be with Brother Darrell Pruitt as he broke his toe, and as also his builder that was building his house, Brother Joe, his young son took his life. And it's devastating to that father, and it's been hard for him to come back and to complete the work that is desperately needed under contract for their home. And so there's always something that is happening to the family of God. Many of our families, Sister Gail, I tell you, George, you lift her up as she continues to fight cancer. My mother continued to lift her up. My aunt that's dealing with a tremendous deal of sickness right now. She had failed as well as my mom had and broke her jaw, and they're trying to get that healed up, but she already had some other things that she was dealing with, and leukemia. And so my Uncle Bradford Thomas has been faithful in the Word, and she's been the first lady to him for many years, and they've been faithful to the Lord, our Savior. And so I want to just lift them up as well tonight in our prayers, along with the many that I may not mentioned by name tonight, but I promise you, you're in our prayers, and I thank God that you just be the prayer warrior as well, as we're strong each and every day. Father, we praise you tonight, and we thank you for standing with all the family of God. You have a plan for us, and you have victory that's already been won, Father. But Lord, today, Lord, I pray, God, that we'll remain strong in our faith and courageous as we go forward. And Lord, I pray that you'll challenge us tonight as we're strong in the Lord. Father, it seems like every few minutes there's something that's happening to our families and our men and women of God. But Lord, I pray that we'll be strong and, Lord, courageous to go forward. And Lord, I ask you tonight, God, that you'll just give us the words that we need to say to your church. And Father, I just want to give glory and honor to you and everything that we do. Thank you, Father, for those, Lord, that are strong. And Lord, for the many that are weak, that are falling by the wayside. May we help them. May we encourage them. And Lord, I pray for the many that are lost, that have never accepted Jesus Christ into their heart and life, Father. Touch us all tonight, Father. Touch America. Touch this election. Give us a leader, Father, that trusts in you and the power of prayer. And Father, that honors life. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll just be with this nation. Make it great again, Father, that we can reach the many that need to be reached. For it's too late, Father. And Lord, I just praise your mighty name tonight. And thank you for saving us by your marvelous grace. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you again tonight for tuning us in. And as we continue on tonight, as Brother Bob Carroll and I back in 2008 were right at Mount Carmel. And the time frame of that was around the month of March. The fifth day that we were in the country of Israel, that we were around and being able to look at Mount Carmel, and what a powerful thing it is to see something like this, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look at the encounter of pretending to be normal, amen. And we're talking about 2 Kings chapter 4. I've got verses 23 through 30, but I dropped on down to about verse 11 that we'll have on here. As we look at the challenge, the test of the mountain of Mount Carmel tonight, our outline of Elisha's life is we go all the way back to 2 Kings chapter 1 and 2, and Elisha succeeds Elijah, amen. Elisha saves the nation in 2 Kings chapter 3, amen. and a tremendous blessing that's taking place. And then Elisha serves the people here in 2 Kings chapter 4 as we go forward. Amen. I thank God every one of us. One of the questions that we have is how to defeat despair. Many of us, as we go through life today, we're going to have a lot of things that are going to come against us, amen. Discouragement is going to be one of the many things that we face each and every day of our life that we go through, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that we all are going to face. But one of the things with discouragement, one of the most potent weapons that the devil can use in our life today, it's vital, but I thank God, is discouragement that he tries to bring against each and every one of us. First of all, we see a crisis that was confronted because in verse 19, as the Word of God tells us, and I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to actually have a very short worship song before I get any further into this. I almost got into it and didn't get into my worship time. Forgive me about that. But I thank God, what a mighty lesson that we have for you tonight. I thank God. Heavenly sunlight. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go with another one on that one. So I'm kind of sporadic sometimes about this. And one of the things is the Lord, I let Him lead me just in a drop of the hat. I love the Lord to do that in our lives as well. Be ready at a moment to go and do what the Lord would have you to do. I'm just flipping through here and letting the Holy Spirit speak to me about some of the things that we have here. You say, brother, you ought to pick one out. Well, I am right now. And as I go through, hey, I love every, as I look at these, man, I love every one of these, all these great songs. That same spirit. I send this out to a brother in Christ that's been passed, but a dear brother and friend that was our head deacon, Hal Senior. How much I miss him, but he's in the presence of the Lord. I thank God that ain't a day don't go by that I don't think about Brother Hal and what a blessing that he's been to People's Valley Baptist Church. And just miss him each and every day. One of the songs that we sing here is one of those that he had a lot of favorites, but this was one that he favors as well. Jesus said it is expedient for me to go away, but I'll send you another comforter to guide you from day to day. So they tarried at Jerusalem for power from on high. That same spirit that they receive within my heart abides. I can feel His Holy Spirit a dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same Spirit that raised Jesus up from death and the grave, it shall raise this old body up and take me home someday. Oh, they lay Him in an empty tomb and rolled a stone at the door. They put soldiers there to guard it. They thought they did away with the Lord. On the third day, the stone was rolled away and He came forth from the grave. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus up will take me home someday. I can feel His Holy Spirit a dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes He feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same Spirit that raised Jesus up from death and the grave, it shall raise His old body up and take me home someday. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to go all the way back to verse 11, amen. And notice as we look at this is how to defeat despair is we see a recipe for despair. And I thank God as we look at this, the Bible says in verse 11, and it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to the Gehazi, his servant, call this Shulamite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? Now let me explain a little bit of this. I thank God. This woman was an extraordinary woman, and here is a crisis that was confronted, amen. I thank God as we look and we realize that this woman had been a fantastic, prodigious woman. Now, I thank God she was remarkable because this unnamed woman was great in social standing and in wealth, and she was great in her perception because she had noticed that Elisha had passed that way on his ministry trips, amen. And she had realized that the man of God needed a place to stay as he had passed that way, amen. And so on the top of their home, she had provided and built a shelter and a place for him to stay when he traveled by that way, amen. And so I thank God, Gehazi was the servant, and so she provided a place for both of them, amen. She had entertained Elisha when he passed by, it said in verse 8, and she encouraged her husband to add a room to their house where Elisha could stay when he came to their city in Shunem. And verses 9 and 10, amen. And this woman's wonderful reward for this is the man of God said, I want to do something for her. And he was carrying on a conversation with his servant, Gehazi. And Gehazi answered, verily, she had no child and her husband is old. And so I thank God he wanted to do something for her to be able to help her. And as he was carrying on this conversation, Gehazi said, well, she has no child, she's barren, and her husband is very old. Unlikely that they'll ever have a child. But I thank God he began to call on the power of God to do something that was miraculous. Hallelujah. And so I thank God as we look at the Word of God and continue, the Bible says, and he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She thought that this was something that was impossible, amen. But I thank God there was a prestigious gift that was given, amen. The prophet and his servant were resting in the room when Elisha expressed the desire to do something special for the woman because of her kindness to them. And so I thank God he began to address this issue, praise God. And so I thank God. One of the things that we look at is the Shulamite's outlook transformed from a victory to discouragement because the devil had managed to drive a wedge between the Shulamite and her Lord, amen. That's exactly what he does because I thank God, you know what? God can do exactly what he says he can do. He can give us the children to those that are barren, to those that are discouraged, amen. And so maybe your child keeps battling a serious illnesses, amen. Maybe there's a growing comfort that starts out well, but yet they're struggling, amen. And they're falling right back into problems in their old sinful life, amen. Maybe you've run out of money before the end of the month with the bills that are still unpaid, amen. And again, but our hero, I thank God, our Lord and Savior, he's the one that can make a way when there's no way. He's the one that can give power to us, amen, and to our loved ones that have turned away from God, hallelujah, amen. And perhaps you've got a lifelong friend that has betrayed you, and you're so discouraged right now because of that. But the many sources of discouragement are not hard to find. In fact, the very word discouraged means to take away or to lose courage, amen. But I thank God, one of the things that we see to be discouraged, it means to face life with fear instead of faith, with worry instead of wonder, with cowardice instead of courage, amen. And so we see through the Shulamite story that discouragement can appear from nowhere and it can overwhelm us. But with the Lord's help, we can overcome. And so I thank God we see the recipe for despair, because whenever the Lord does something good for you, and when He gives you victory in your life, you could be sure that the enemy is going to come right along, and he's going to have a recipe for your discouragement and for your despair. Amen. And so the Shulamite season of discouragement, to have a greater understanding of her own susceptibility, is to identify the times of when that discouragement might come. Because when things are going good, you better look out, because the devil's going to come along, and I tell you, he's going to try to give something that'll knock you down and discourage your faith and your courageous ability with the Lord. And so I thank God, but after great victory is when these things happen. Most good things don't come easy or quickly, amen. Any long-term efforts of working to strengthen a marriage or to build a Sunday school class, or to rear our children and bring them up in the right way, or resolve a relationship problem, amen, that takes time, amen. But during that process, our patience can wear thin. And if we don't see the immediate results, then we can feel like our efforts, amen, are a waste of time, amen. But the devil can see the perfect opening to whisper, why not just give up? That's what he does best, amen. But the Shulamite's example warns every one of us, however, that even when we're vulnerable to discouragement during these long struggles, amen, they're during times of physical exhaustion that it comes about. Why did the victory sustain her of knowing that here was a barren woman that had a child, a miracle in the making that took place, amen? But it also made her opened up for a time of discouragement that would come eventually. And during times of physical exhaustion, it's hard to stay on an emotional high for a long time. If we sing the great success, then there's usually a natural letdown that's just around the corner, amen. But sometimes we find ourselves too spent, too exhausted to really enjoy it. And we can't prevent the natural downtime and the exhaustion from happening. And so we do need to be aware that sometimes discouragement is going to come our way, amen. And so there's another ingredient of the Shulamite's discouragement, which is fatigue, amen. I thank God each and every one of us, during times of loneliness, is another time that we open ourselves up for these things to happen, for the recipe of despair to take over and happen in our lives today, amen. And so it's sad when these things begin to happen to each and every one of us during these times. As Christians, we've got much more times when the enemy becomes dangerous for us. The Bible tells us that the devil's like a roaring lion, constantly on the prowl for isolated Christians, amen, that when they're alone, that they're easy targets for his attacks, amen. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, amen. And so when we seclude ourselves from others who can discourage, who can encourage us, or who can strengthen us, amen, we're prone to get discouraged. Because of this fact, we've got to remain faithful to the church. And I'm going to tell you, as soon as you can get back in the house of God, you need to get back in there, amen. The Bible says, not forsaking ourselves, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and as so much the more as ye see the day approaching, amen. Remember the context of time that the Hebrews were written. The church was facing a lot of persecution, amen. And so from the inaccurate view of circumstances, the Shulamite's grief was deep, amen, because here she had a son that had been born when she was a barren. She had an older husband that it seemed impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. But I thank God this was a recipe later on that was going to be a time for discouragement and despair, amen, because eventually something was going to go wrong. And that something was her son that was out in the hot sun in the field, and he had a heat stroke while he was out there with the father. And the father began to take the child back home to the mother, and she went right away and began to take him and put him in his room and said nothing to the husband. And later on, as she goes, she needs to go and she needs to get to the man of God, amen. But I'm telling you, let me continue with the reading. The Bible says in verse 17 of 2 Kings 4, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the same time of life. And so I thank God we begin to realize how that we defeat despair, because not only was there a recipe for despair, but there was a treatment for despair. Because I thank God, as we look at verse 22, the Bible tells us that there was a man of God that was there. Hallelujah. But let's look at the Word of God, because every one of us, when we begin to realize that we encounter a pretended to be normal, amen, there was something that happened, because she didn't tell everything to her husband. When he brought her home, the son home, she didn't tell him that he already died. But she went ahead and put him in the prophet's room, the man of God's room, amen. Went and took him up there, and she had faith, even though that she was going through this discouraging time for this recipe that happened in her life. I thank God, one of the things that she did was, she said, you know what, I've got to get to the man of God. There's a treatment for despair, praise God. And there's somebody that can get a prayer through. There's a friend. There's a preacher. There's someone that you know that can get a prayer through. There's a deacon, hallelujah. There's somebody that can come and provide the treatment of discouragement and despair that you need to be able to defeat the enemy that comes your way, praise God. And so I thank God that's one of the things that we have in life today. And so Elijah, I thank God, was wanting to do one of these things, amen, that was taking place for this prestigious sorrow that had happened to this. The boy was still a child when these events occurred, and his mother was able to hold him in her lap and to carry his body to Elijah's chamber that was on the roof. In verses 20 and 21, amen. And the cause of the lad's illness, I thank God, was the heat of the harvest that was coming to affect him, amen. And so I thank God the mother called to the father in the field and asked him to provide her with a servant and a donkey, but she still didn't inform him that the boy had died. And so I thank God, you know what? Sometimes we encounter pretending. We try to pretend to be normal. We try to let and put on a face like everything is going fine when we know that it's not, amen. And this is exactly what she did in front of her husband, amen. That's exactly what she did in front of the assistant of the man of God, because he began to ask her in a few minutes, hey, is everything okay with you? Is everything okay with your son? Is everything okay with your husband, amen? But I thank God she began to say everything was okay. She didn't really tell all of the things. She had pretended for everything to be fine. And I thank God that's exactly what this message is about. Because a lot of us today, we put on a face every day, a smile. And the reason that we're not healing from all of that pain that we've been dealing with, all of that grief, all of that sorrow, all of that discouragement, because we're pretending to be normal. We're putting on a good show. We're putting on a face that looks like it's normal, but it's not. Because deep down inside, we're hurting. And I thank God this Shulamite woman was hurting because she realized that her son had died after all of this encounter, amen. But she still had faith in the man of God, amen. But she wasn't telling all of the truth, amen. And so I thank God. What do we do during the times of treatment of despair like this, amen? Well, I thank God. One of the things that we read, the Bible says, and she called unto her husband, and she said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God. Notice, to the man of God, because that is what we've got to do. We've got to remain faithful. And the only way that we can do that, amen, is we've got to be able to get to the man of God. And we got to pour our heart out through that man of God or through that person that we can relate to. And I thank God he said, listen, he says, that I may run to the man of God and come again. You know what? He's saying, man, is it that time to hear from the man of God? But listen, he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, it shall be well. She didn't tell him the whole truth. She was pretending that everything was all right. But I thank God she had some strong faith. Her faith was all in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the man of God himself. And so that's all that she had to hold to during this time. But she was pretending, and she had faith that everything would be all right if she could just get to the man of God, Elisha, the mountain man of Mount Carmel, that she was going to find him, and to find him, he would be on the mountain of God. That was the challenge. That was the test. That's what this series is all about. You want to find the man of God? Go to the mountain of God, amen. Go where the man of God is going to be at, hallelujah. And she knew that she had to make a quick journey to get to him and let him know, because time was of the essence, amen. She had some kind of faith, and I thank God it was because of that that she could remain faithful, hallelujah. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so I thank God we are created to glorify God with our lives. And when we lack Elisha, I thank God when we divert from God's plan for our lives, We're fulfilling the purpose which we were created, amen. But we got to watch out for that discouraging wedge that the devil would drive and try to bring into our lives each and every day, amen. And so I tell you, I remember when the man of Elijah himself, he was back in the last chapter, amen. He stood over at Mount Carmel, amen. And he saw an amazing sight, amen. Just like Elijah did, amen. He went over there, hallelujah, and there was a huge whirlwind that was going on. And so I thank God, the rocks tore at the mountains. There was an earthquake that was there. There was a roaring fire that raged in the front of Elijah, amen. And it reminds us that just like Elijah, here is Elisha, amen. There was not power displayed in all of these physical things in the huge whirlwind. There was not power displayed in the earthquake that rent the mountains. The roaring fire that raged in front of Elijah where God was showed off to all the prophets of Baal, amen, when he began to consume every one of them and take them out of the picture, amen, because there was a mighty, powerful spirit. It was the presence of a still, small voice. And I thank God it was that same still, small voice that was in the power of Elisha that the Shulamite woman was on a run to get back to, amen. And so I thank God your child might get discouraged waiting for things to happen, amen. You might get discouraged during this COVID-19 time, amen. But I thank God, every one of us, when you climb a mountain with a gradual slope, you just got to feel like you aren't progressing very much. But when you get to the top and you look back and you see that you've come a long way up that mountain, I thank God we're going up on the rough side of the mountain. Hallelujah. Amen. But in the same way, I thank God we got to look back over our journey and we got to see that God was always with us and He's led us further than we could ever realize in the moment. Praise God. And so I thank God here we begin to realize that she rushed to Mount Carmel where the man of God lived. Amen. Grace began to impart. And I thank God that Shulamite was about 20 miles northwest of Elisha's hometown, amen. 25 miles or so beyond was Mount Carmel, amen, that she had to go. The average traveler on foot could cover about 15 to 20 miles per day to Shulamah, which was the perfect halfway point for Elisha whenever he went to Mount Carmel to pray and to meditate, and I thank God to seek the Lord in a new way. And since Mount Carmel was a very special place because of Elisha's ministry, I thank God here we begin to realize that distance that they begin to go, hallelujah. And so I thank God she began to make tracks. And the Bible says, then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward and slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. And so she went and she came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and to say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. You see, she pretended for it to be normal. There's a lot of Christians today that are trying to pretend that things are normal in their life, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to make tracks fast to the man of God. We need to get down in our prayer closets and call on our mighty Lord that can do great wonders for us. But I've had times that I couldn't even pray for myself. I've had times when I got discouraged and got down and out. You say, you're a preacher, you're a man. You listen, if you're a pretender, listen, then you're a fake. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't a one of us that ain't pretended, and there ain't a one of us that haven't been genuine. We've had a fake smile on our face when the joy of the Lord is truly our strength. And so I thank God we see the recipe for despair and the treatment for despair as well. Because thank God each and every one of us, like the Shulamite woman, we're facing hard times and even times when we want to give up and stop pressing forward for the Lord. Amen. And in these moments, Satan will whisper to us that it's no use in pressing forward. And he'll try to discourage us with the wedge of discouragement and disappoint us. Amen. But I thank God, but Satan is a liar and the father of, and even when we face discouragement or find ourselves ensnared in it, God desires to give us victory. Hallelujah. And so I thank God. She said, and he answered, it is well. That was a pretense. I thank God she didn't want to give any time to the assistant. She wanted to get directly to the man of God. Now listen as the word of God goes on. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God, who are we talking about? Elisha. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. He didn't know what her trouble was, but his heart went at her. Listen, if you're a man or woman of God, your heart will go out to your congregation, to the body of Christ, and you'll be praying for them, and they don't even know you're praying for them. They might be going through hard times, but you're praying for them no matter what, because that's what pastors and that's what churches and fellows and friends do for one another. Amen. We lift them up. But I thank God she didn't want to take time to tell everything to Gehazi. Amen. We've got to be honest. Amen. But I thank God sometimes the things that we go through in our life, you know what? We don't want to tell all the hurt and the pain that's going on in our lives today. And so it's sad when we begin to face some of these things that are out there today, that we tell some of the things about our life. Amen. You know, some of the things that we pretend, we get into this pretending mode. Scripture reveals a God that meets us where we are and not where we pretend to be. And I tell you, there's no more faking fine. I thank God you got to get to a gut level, honest with God through the life-giving language of lamenting. Get down on your knees and lament and pray and give it to the Lord. Amen. When life hurts hard, we feel pressures from others and ourselves to keep it together. But sometimes somebody tells you, why don't you just suck it up and pray? But you may not feel like it. But Scripture reveals a God who lovely invites us to give an honest voice to our emotions when life hurts. Listen, you can't pretend to God. You might can pretend to me and somebody else and your sisters and your brothers out there, but God knows deep down inside that you're truly hurting and you're putting on a good one. You're just pretending to be normal. But for the most of our life, every one of us, when we are silencing our pain, we're robbing ourselves of an opportunity to be healed. Let me say that again. Sometimes when we're silencing our pain that we're going through and we're pretending to be normal, we're robbing ourselves of an opportunity to be healed. Maybe you've done the same. Every one of us, as we're going through the journey, trying to begin a healing, we discover that God has given us a real-world way to deal with our raw emotions and our alternative of coping mechanisms that we try to cause to deal with the pains on a daily basis. Maybe your husband don't understand what you're going through. Maybe your wife don't understand what you're going through. Maybe somebody, your sister or your brother, your mom or dad or your sister, they don't understand what you're going through right now. But it's called the cringe out and gut level honest prayer that God never ignores and He never silences and He never wastes, because He'll come to your aid and He'll help you when that's happening. No more faking fine, amen. No more trying to do that. The encounter of pretending to be normal. No. Every one of us, all of the things that are happening, all of the interruptions, amen, that are aggravating, that are infuriating, that make us want to tell people what we think of them sometimes. But how do we handle these interruptions, amen, actually tells us more about ourselves, amen. And so I thank God of all the things, like the prophet Jonah's existence was interrupted by a call of God that would require a complete change of life. All of the interruptions that we go through, when we flip the switch, all of us are flipping into a survival mode that we're saying, I'm pretending to be normal. We flip this switch in our life that it is a survival mode that we try to go and deal. I'm fine. Life is great. When these are some of the things that I hear that are just a pretending to be normal. Let me say them again. I'm fine. When you ask somebody how they are, well, they don't want to hear all of my stories. They don't want to hear all my aches and pains. They don't want to hear all of my hurts, but God does. And I thank God, in order for us to be able to pray for, you know, sometimes I get some members that call me and it's an hour later before they get done. You say, are you complaining? No, because that's what they ought to do. You know what? A lot of folks, they think that, well, I just got to keep this to myself. I'm going to flip the survival switch mode. But I thank God, this is exactly the words I hear. I'm fine. Life is great. Boy, what a big, fat lie. I hate myself. I feel fantastic. Oh, man, they put a big old smile with it, amen. I'm falling apart. What can you do about it? These are the things that I hear so much with people that are pretending to be normal. Well, I tell you, every one of us, everything happens and it goes through our life today that we're going through. But I thank God, you know, we lose out on a lot of things when we pretend to be normal and we're not, amen. And we go through all of these things and we try to tell everybody, oh, I'm just fine. I don't need any help at all whatsoever. And so thank God. What this message is teaching us is about being open and direct and simple with the Lord. That's what this challenge on Mount Carmel is all about. That is trying to say, listen, if you hear this message tonight, I just want you to be open with the Lord. I want you to be simple and direct with Him. Amen. Confess your faults one to another and pray one to another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. And so I thank God as we go forward, it tells us, you know what, I got a sign of prayer. You can't heal if you keep pretending you're not hurt. That's right. This is a saying, and I quote Spencer Tracy, I'm tired of pretending that everything's fine just so I can please everyone else, unquote. Boy, I tell you, that was an actor that had some complications because of his personal life. And so we go on in 2 Kings 4:28. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She's telling the man of God in verse 29. And then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not and lay my staff upon the face of the child. You say, why ain't he going himself? Because didn't I just tell you what the distance was? Why, Gehazi was a younger man. And the speed to get to this young boy's body was of the utmost importance. And I thank God, you know what? Maybe it was a challenge for the servant of God. He said, take my staff, and when you get there, don't stop for nobody. You're younger, you can move faster and quicker than I can. And I thank God, you know what? He took off. And I thank God, that's exactly why he asked him to do it, amen. And I thank God, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee, Elisha, the man of God, is what she said. And he arose and he followed her. And so I thank God. In verse 30, here we begin to realize some of the best things of being honest with ourselves. Even when our friends are against us and our family belittles us and our co-workers laugh at us, and as a result we feel like everything depends on us. If we're serving the Lord, trials will come and people will leave us, betray us, and they will disappoint us. The devil will try to convince us that we're the only ones with a genuine heart to serve God. And while it's easy to believe that lie, it isn't true. Because God is still there. He's still on the throne. And he's still got a plan. All the discouragement that he tries to do in our lives, we need to heed because there was a resurrection miracle that was needed right here. We've got to do what? When this happens, we got to press onward. Because I thank God, when we get on down to verse 34, we begin to realize that one of the best cures for discouragement is pressing onward, amen. And I thank God, he says, how to defeat despair, claiming victory over despair. When we get down in verse 37, we're going to see the victory. But let's move on. He says, and then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. But let me stop it right there. The miracle in verse 34, we look at the Bible. The Bible says, listen, and he went up and he lay upon the child and he put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes. But let me back up a little further than that. You see, Gehazi went, he put his staff on the child. Nothing happened. He tried everything he could, but nothing could happen. But by the time that the Shulamite mother got there and Elisha got there, the child was gone. He had already passed away. They needed a miracle. The man of God had the miracle. He had the resurrection because only God can resurrect your lost family that's dead without Christ. Right now, one of the greatest, the most powerful things that can be done is that you could reach somebody that's dead in Christ and resurrect them and bring them into the family of God. And I thank God. But if you're pretending, listen, if you're pretending to be normal, you know what? You need to have the faith of a Shulamite mother that says, I'm going to stop at nothing to get to the man of God on Mount Carmel, And I don't want to talk to nobody else but Him, because He can get a prayer through. He can get the victory. I need a miracle in the making. I need a resurrection. Amen. And she knew that her son was dead. But she didn't tell the truth to her husband, and she didn't want to take time to tell anything to anybody else, even the servant of Gehazi. She wanted to get right through. And so as Elisha returns with the woman in verse 30, and the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and he followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face, in verse 31, of the child. And there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, "The child is not awakened." In verse 32, "And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up, and he laid upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And then he returned, and he walked in the house." You know what he did? He called on the power of God to resurrect him. And not only did he do that, he got up and he prayed, and he walked, and he prayer walked, and he prayer walked, and he prayed, and he believed, and he had faith, just as the woman had faith in the man of God. And I thank God. Listen. "And he walked to the house fro, and went up, and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, where whatever had been in him was coming out. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, and he said, 'Call this Shulamite.' And so he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, 'Take up thy son.'" Now listen. Now listen. You know what? She didn't. No. She didn't right then. Now look at the verse that gives victory. Because I thank God, here was the resurrected, as we press on, each and every one of us, and as we go forward, we've got to continue to press forward in the moments that we're doing each and every day. The only way that you can do this is to press forward, amen, and do the very best that you can in times like this. And so just like each and every one of us, like the Shulamite woman, we face hard times when we want to give up and we stop pressing forward for the Lord. But I thank God, that's when we really got to keep going forward. And I thank God, as the woman did the very best that she did, as she had faith, the Bible says, then she went in and fell at his feet. You know what she was doing? She was giving recognition to Almighty God and to the man of God that God had worked this miracle. The resurrection of her son in the Old Testament, what a miracle that it was. And then took up her son and she went out. She didn't forget the blessings of God. And so I thank God each and every one of us, when we go through life today, the miraculous blessings, the persistent faith that she had of the man of God on Mount Carmel, that I thank God she went to where he was. And I thank God, every one of us, as we go through life today, she began to realize the tremendous blessing that God could do something that no one else. She had an overwhelming sorrow, amen, but she believed in the man of God. She went to Mount Carmel, and I thank God she knew that she would find the man of God on the mountain of God. Amen. And so I thank God, as we continue to get ready to close out, we've got to be able to be honest and direct in the difficult things with God. When a person is open and honest with God, he'll view your life from that point of view. Amen. And I thank God we'll see ourselves through his eyes. An attitude of humbleness and an attitude of pride we've got to watch out for. But with simplicity is one of the greatest things that we can do each and every day to go forward and to do what the man of God did for her, amen. You know, I thank God, I remember as I close out, I remember a story of a man. Two men were out, they were fishing. And I thank God, as they were trout fishing, they stayed there all day long. As there was one man, every time that he got a fish, he would bring that fish up, and he had a 12-inch ruler. If that fish was bigger than that 12-inch ruler, he'd throw the big fish back out into the water. But if it was smaller than that 1-inch ruler, that 12-inch, he'd keep it. Now, I'm going to tell you, that happened all day long. And so the other man, he was wondering, what in the world's going on? And so he done had enough. Finally, they were done at the end of the day, and they were counting up their fish. And I thank God, every time as they did this, the one man said, "You know what? I got to ask you a question. I ain't never saw a fisherman like you in my life. Every time you get a big fish, you bring out your little measuring stick, and if it's longer than that measuring stick, you throw the big fish back in, and you keep the small fish. He said, what in the world is happening with all of this? And the man said, sure. You know, he says, really? He said, because the reason I'm doing this is because I only have an 8-inch frying pan. And now think about that for a minute. You know, rather than getting a bigger skillet, he was settling for a smaller fish. You know, I believe God wants each and every one of us to give us the 12-inch blessings. But all we have sometimes is a faith for 8-inch faith. That's sad today. You know, the lesson that we're trying to teach tonight is that whenever you come to the question of how you're doing, be truthful with God. Turn to Him with the truth of how you're feeling and be open and be direct with Him. And I thank God if you'll turn to God and be open with Him before you reach and get discouraged, I thank God you'll never reach out and fall in to the discouragement that's coming your way. Amen. God begins to see all of your problems, and He hears your prayers, and He keeps His promises, and He gives every one of us provision. Amen. May the Lord help each and every one of us through the challenge of this mountain, the challenge of Mount Carmel that it presented to this Shulamite. And I thank God to the man of God, Elisha himself. Amen. There was a recipe for despair, but after a great victory, you better watch out. During times of physical exhaustion, during times of loneliness, from an inaccurate view of circumstances that we begin to look like it's hopeless because the devil has put a wedge of discouragement in us. But the treatment for that despair is to remain faithful and recognize God's presence because He's always with us. Amen. And then you claim victory over that discouragement and that despair. Amen. As right here, then she went in and she fell at His feet and she bowed herself to the ground and she took up her son and she went out. Because we've got to be honest with ourselves and honest and direct with God. Because we got to quit pretending that everything is normal when it's not. Press on and move forward and choose encouragement each and every time. Because the Lord wants to give us the very best that He has from His storehouse. Father, thank You for the message and the messenger. Many are pretending and they're saying, oh, I'm fine, with a smile, when they're not. But Lord, just like the Shulamite woman, Lord, she knew that it wasn't fine. She knew that the only hope that she had was to go to the Mount Carmel itself and find the man of God. And Lord, He had the answer that would resolve the issues in her life, because that's the only thing that she could do, was to be open and direct with God and with Him. She didn't want to tell anybody else the truth. She didn't tell her husband the truth. She didn't tell Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the truth. She said, I got to get directly to Him. But thank God for that faith that paid off. And I pray tonight that there's someone out there that's pretending to be genuine, but they're not. They're faking it. They need to be real, and they need to be genuine, and they need to really give it over to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.